open up just about any tech publication, show, podcast, including this one, anything, and you're going to hear about artificial intelligence and how it's taking over the world. I am one of the people in the corner saying it is taking over the world. I don't think it's taking over the world as fast necessarily as other people, and I also don't think that it necessarily replaces people, at least in the early going. I feel like it's one of those things that's a great supplement. It makes me become a better operator, at least until it learns more than me, and then it becomes me obsolete, and it is a great operator. But that does not mean that we should not learn from it and use it in our everyday lives, particularly when it comes to conversion and things that we can do to sort of help the customer experience along the way. One of the biggest problems with performing with great customer experience, one of the reasons major brands that have tons and tons of money, Apples of the world, can continue to dominate customer experience, is that because of automation, because of their money, because of the people working round the clock, they can serve customers 24 hours a day. Anytime a customer has a problem, they're right there to hit it. They can predict when the problems are. They've got all the data to know where they're going. And for everyone else out there, that's just simply not the case. So for me at Technorium, when I go to bed, if you have questions, you'll get it in the morning. You will not get anything from me until then. And if you email me or you have any sort of problems, you want to know when our event is coming, if I'm downstairs preparing for the event, you're just going to have to find out tomorrow that you missed the event because I don't have anything to help you. And so that's where companies like Accel Technology come in.
Wait a minute. Wait a turn, minute. On the radio. Turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it, though. Play it, I hope right. You got in tune. Got he in talking tune. Bigger business. Bigger he make business. A lot of moves.
Brad Bennett, Matt Coughlin, which I got right, finally got a name right on the show, VP and GM and CEO of Accel Technologies, have joined me to talk a little bit more about the importance and use case of artificial intelligence, particularly as it pertains to conversion and customer experience. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. And in uniform. You are in unison. Like, are you,
that's artificial intelligence.
I was going to say artificial right intelligence knew I was going to ask the question. They pinged you and you guys just started. So first, you know, walk me through what Accel Technologies is. Then let's get a little bit into the AI and the tech, and then let's get into your stories a little bit.
Perfect. So, you know, I would say the business is every bit evolutionary as it is revolutionary, in the fact that there were kind of two seminal observations that led us down this path to creating the business. Prior to this, I had a business where we actually had built it to about $200 million revenue run rate, primarily helping very large brands bring to life their customer experience. And there was one observation that held true no matter what company I was working with. So whether it was Apple, Disney, Walgreens, Sears, Barnes & Noble, Staples, Home Depot, AT&T, top-performing agents or top-performing sales associates were not typically marginally better, but they were always, almost always a multiple better than their peer group. And so this power law existed in these businesses where you would have a really great disproportionate kind of player. And so that was the first thing that we kind of focused on, was this notion of, could we learn with certainty what are the actions, tactics, strategies of these top performers and exactly how are they doing it? But we paired that together with another observation that was going on concurrently, which was you have two companies in Google and Facebook that today represent over $1 trillion in valuation, and they did not exist 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And much of that valuation is derived on the notion that they're going to deliver eyeballs to your website. So, you know, we'll drive traffic and we'll build your brand, but we'll drive traffic to your website.
So they said,
right? Yeah. But even more scary is this notion that really, depending upon the brand that you're talking where it's, talking to, it's about 2% conversion. So that's where kind of the aha moment came, and the clouds split and the sun shone through. And we focused on this kind of idea of, what if we could pair the online experience with the capability of your very best salesperson? So imagine that just for a moment as a North Star. What if every customer that arrived at your website could have talked to your single most capable salesperson? And that's really kind of the origin of the business.
I actually think that's that's about as good an intro as you can give on this, to be honest, because you nailed what I think is one of the biggest problems for particularly startups, but it's really every business. Most of them, for starters, don't have a great salesperson. Like, not just the best salesperson, they don't have a great salesperson. They have plenty of salespeople, but they're not very good. And part of it's just, you know, whether you have access to capital or whatever the case may be. I guess if I had to go back and look at all the companies we've had at Technori, the ones with some of the best ideas and the best pitch are the ones that no longer exist. The ones who are still around, including Geobit, which was just on the show, yep, is a CEO who is an unbelievable salesperson. They're an unbelievable resonator of information for people. And if you don't have that, I just think that people can't relate to your product. And if they have a question, they may only be one or two or three questions away from being a purchase. But if you can't, if you don't read them as a salesperson, I don't understand what you're asking, and I don't deliver an answer, I'm out.
I think your observation is spot on, to be very honest with you. And I think if you just take that and extrapolate it one level further, think about the number of websites out there that may, in actuality, have a much better product. They may, in actuality, have better, you know, products and services, yet it's very me too. So it leaves the customer to try and discern what's the difference between this one and that one.
Yep.
And so, you know, you have this scenario now where, you know, quite literally the first thing someone does when they think about buying something is they go to a website.
Technori is a great example of this in the negative sense. I actually got an email the other day, several times, but this is one the other day from a potential person who wanted to, well, there's two actually. There's one that wanted to go to an event and wanted to know what they were going to get out of it. Like, what was the, what's the takeaway? And I was like, wow, that's a really bad question to be asked when you go to our website and you can't figure it out. Like, why would I go? And I was like, I guess we've really rested on our laurels. We just assume that we grew through word of mouth. So it was always like, you know, you knew to go to Technori because you knew what you were going for, right? And the other one I got was a startup who literally emailed saying, what benefit do we get from being at Technori? I know that we get exposure and we're on your show or whatever, but like, other than that, what do we get? And I was like, man, we really don't do a very good job of that. So I sent him the about page and he's like, no, I know. That's how I got the email. And I'm like, okay, so this is really not going well. Let's start with questions. What are you looking to answer here? And then eventually it turned out he asked questions that I was like, oh, we are specifically leaving that off our website right now because we're in the middle of some big stuff and I don't want to let you know what we're doing. So that I don't feel so bad about that. But for the first person who doesn't know why they're coming to an event, we are really struggling at that. And I'm not alone. Many, many companies do a very what designers call selfish design in their websites. They write a lot about themselves and they don't write about what the customer gets. And so when the customer goes to your site, they'd just be like, well, you obviously sell trackers. I don't know why your tracker is better than Tile or different in any way. And then when they try to ask a question, the salesperson just goes right into KPIs.
That's right.
It's like, I still don't know why I want to buy your product.
It's so funny that you say that because, you know, if you think about really good, effective salespeople, they are very much like an algorithm. And what I mean by that is they are honing in on and improving a dialogue plan that they've applied over and over.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, you
input one thing and they output another thing and it's a different output for each person, but it is all relative.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, what we've identified is that there's websites that really don't have a way of, first of all, just connecting with and engaging with their customers. So imagine for a minute really having the voice of the customer synthesized so that you could actually make decisions.
Yeah.
So establish a dialogue. You know, think about the fact that today organizations invest millions of dollars to drive traffic to their website and know very little about that traffic. So the first thing that we were able to do is for a Fortune 10 company, we were able to start engaging customers. And then we started, because they were using what we call augmented. And I loved your description. We're not here to, you know, wholesale replace people.
Yeah.
What we found is
not
yet. That's right. But what we found is kind of this combination of man and machine working in concert together actually produces disproportionate results. So for this Fortune 10 company, we were able to show that people who are using our technology as an augmentation, helping them think through and showing them what to say, actually could generate 17% more conversion than the people who are not.
Yeah.
But even more importantly, you take like a large cosmetics retailer that where you can pick the expert that you want to work with online, you are quite literally 25 times more likely to purchase when you actually have a conversation with the expert.
Yeah. No, that does not surprise me. The only thing I would say is from a user standpoint, you know, this is a very bad example. I will preface it with that. And I will say that it was a bank's website, so you get how bad this example is going to be.
Yes.
When you have to answer like five or six questions to get to the expert, that's the part that for me has always lost its way. It's like, all right, by then I'm just like, whatever,
right.
And then it puts you on a phone anyway because they don't have the answer. For the groups that use the technologies like you guys are creating, and we can talk a little bit more about the actual technology. But one of the things that I think is key is that the what do you call it, the algorithm or the math, whatever you want to call it, that is calculating what the right response is and who should be the right responder on your side of things, should be able to determine based on my question does it go here? Does it go? And ask like one or two follow up questions that sort of lead me in that way instead of having me have to figure out and fill out a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, and I think you clearly know what you're talking about because, you know, there's this kind of very clear line in the sand where people will just disengage. I mean, the first thing it cannot have is
I did it today. That's why I know.
Well, you know it, right? There's that tin air where you're like, you spend half your time actually trying to trick the bot.
Yep.
Right? Like, is this a bot? And then if it is, let me try and get it to say something wrong.
I get to a point where I eventually start cursing at it and eventually, like, up. It just says, like, inappropriate and, like,
that's right. Yeah. But, you know, if what you're really trying to do, if ultimately what you're trying to do is build some rapport with your customer that actually makes them more inclined to buy more from you,
yeah,
then the fact of the matter is you probably just want to support the person that's having the conversation with you with what did our very best person say,
yeah,
given this inquiry.
Well, right. you're backdooring them into essentially a purchase and maybe more because you're basically helping them sift through. If you were to take this to a retail store,
yeah,
for the next 15 minutes that a retail store exists, you could walk in and be like, let's look at this thing. I want to look at this shirt and this one. And, oh, there's a hat and the pants. And you're like trying to match it. That's what you're doing with technology. You're basically letting me go visually in my head, like, that's one thing I have a problem with, that's one thing I'm trying to solve my own, oh, and then there's this, and oh, there's that too, and we can give you these things, and oh, bundle them together, boom, there you go.
That's right. And you know, if you think about even what Brad for our organization runs our healthcare practice, but think about something as pedantic as type in your zip code to try, yeah, and figure out what primary care physician you'd want to go see.
Well, healthcare is the perfect example for this because healthcare is just literally like nothing but hoops to jump through. So
right.
Having
Except
something like this makes it simple.
From a technology standpoint, we're still in about 2005. So
well, yeah. So there's a lot of margin for you guys. Right. Things should look pretty good.
But one of the kind of most prestigious and largest healthcare systems here in the Midwest deployed our technology. And the consumer response has been amazing, right? You know, just think about healthcare. You probably reserve to the fact that most of what you're going to hear are complaints,
yeah,
right? What we're hearing is, wow, this is really a great service. You guys have done something really special here. And most of it is just around the fact that you're making someone readily available to have a conversation and quickly meet the needs of the customer. And to me, that's, you know, that's kind of this paradigm shift where I go from rooting around in self-service. And, you know, there's a lot of technology zealots who just believe in self-service.
Yep.
I believe in the consumer votes. They vote with their feet and they vote with their wallet.
Yep.
Right? And so what the
I was just saying this to my guys today. We're just talking about this. You're worth what they pay you.
That's
you're
right.
worth what they'll spend on you. If they don't want to spend money and use your product, then your product's shit. I'm not going to spend right. That's what it is.
And, you know, I said, someone had said to me actually earlier today, wow, that sounds like an expensive service because it actually includes some people being involved
yep.
in it. And I said, it's all relative. If you're generating revenue and you're expanding margins, then I would say it's not an expensive service.
Correct.
Right? From my point of view, there's this kind of, some people have the point of view of pure technology for technology's sake.
Yeah.
And where we've had a lot of success is this notion of AI with results in 90 days.
Yeah.
You know, just imagine, like, we're not going to have this massive scope creep where we just try and, you know, boil the ocean, you know?
Yeah.
We are going to focus on what are the most economically impactful conversations that you have in your business and how do we improve those almost immediately, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's been fun because, you know, quite honestly, you can kind of dispel some of these myths that people have and some of the reservations they have around AI because most people go, okay, it's a seven-figure investment and I probably won't see results till my predecessor or till my yeah. you know, successor, rather, gets the results. And we focus on this notion of, hey, you know, you can start deploying this type of technology in 30 days. Start seeing kind of the AI generate the results in 90 days. But more importantly, what you're building is capability that distinguishes you from your competitors, right? So like going back to that Me Too comment, you know, if you go to two websites and let's just say what's something you really enjoy, maybe golf or what's something.
You got it.
So if you went to go buy.
I went to pxggolfirons.com and I was looking through whether or not I want to buy GoDaddy Man's new golf clubs.
There you go, right? And someone could actually go, all right, listen, how tall are you? What's your swing? Tell me a little
they
bit about
did,
what
They did, and they
sent
me a fitting organization, a guy named Chris Singleton here in Chicago who will fit me right now.
Boom. And
there you
know,
go.
This is, you know, there's some companies that are really thinking about how to actually build this digital rapport. How do you take the consumer who had an intention when they arrived at your website?
Yep.
And meet their intention. Just think about how novel that is. They showed up for a reason. If you're thinking purely from technology for technology's sake, you go, oh, okay, they were here browsing.
Yeah, well, let's take this for a spin. We'll kick it over to Brad on the healthcare side as well. Sure. So, like, using the PXG thing, I mean, the flat reality is, to your point also, that the people are thinking it's for my predecessor who's going to end up, benefiting from this. The reality is, and this is not just for your tech, and it really, to your point, it doesn't matter whether it's seven figures, six figures, two figures, one figure. A person who comes in, we deal with this right now, we're trying to figure out what new technology we want to stack and add onto our platform, and it's like, well, how much money are we going to spend on this? And if, and this is going to sound kind of goofy for most business operators, but if you really think about it, numbers are numbers. It doesn't matter whether the number's big or it's small. It's all relative to time. And so I'm looking at, like, if I have to ask, can we afford this? The answer is no, we can't afford it. If the question mark, if that's the question I'm asking them, no, we cannot. If you're looking, can this bring me value quickly and can I make returns on this in a certain amount of time, then it's not about affording anymore. Right. And to take it back to a business practice using the PXG irons, there are two parts of your technology, whether it's you or just artificial intelligence aided operators. And that is that on the one end, the PXG iron end, I got a message immediately from their website knowing that I was browsing and actually knowing that I had clicked between, this giving away information on my game, but PXG Tour versus PXG Player versus Driving Iron. So they discerned really quickly, I mean really quickly, instant real time, that I was looking to pair a Driving Iron with a Tour set, which means I must be a pretty good golfer, which means I must be willing to pay a pretty good amount of money for irons, and therefore I would not spend money on irons that are not fitted. And they immediately sent me an email. I mean, by the end of the night, I had an email from a person here locally who was down and willing to have me fit. And not only that, he let me know that he can fit me for the irons that haven't even come out yet. They come out on April 17th.
But imagine for a second that someone somehow thinks that's expensive. You know, the fact of the matter is,
you just sold a set of clubs.
Revenues, right? You grow revenues by selling product.
PXG just made $3,000. That's what happened. That's what just happened.
Go ahead, Brett.
From a healthcare perspective, I mean, if you drive from here to the suburbs, you're going to see Advocate billboards, Northwestern Memorial billboards. I mean, the money that they're spending from a marketing perspective is staggering.
Yep.
Especially from a search engine optimization standpoint. So they're delivering eyes to a website, but then they're directing you to a phone number, or they're directing you somewhere to call a contact center, right? So you're not engaging the consumer right then. So you're driving them to your website and then saying, oh, yeah, call us.
Yeah.
Or you're searching for a physician by zip code or by alphabetical nature, right? So why not engage with them? Why not, you know, provide the AI recommendation to know how to really engage with them effectively, match them with a physician, and schedule it right there?
Well, and that's the other side of this. So we talked about the fact that PXG just made $3,000 on a set of irons because they quickly engaged me at point of purchase. The other part that is being missed on this is the customer satisfaction. Especially if you're in an industry that sucks. If you're in banking or healthcare or anything in that regard where people hate to deal, like, the only time I deal with you is when I'm in trouble. Like, that's not a good place to be. So you know you're going to get complaints all the time. If you could change that by making it easy on me and be like, wow, that wasn't as dreadful as I thought it was going to be. That wasn't as dreadful as I thought it was going to be as a comment on the Facebook page is invaluable. And you made money on the conversion. You also made money on the brand equity. So you got paid twice.
That's right.
Right.
And it happened to me. Like, the whole seven figure, got to get it started, you know, long term thing. No, I'm the minute it's up and running, the very first consumer to use it is already in the hopper, and you're able to squeeze some more money out of them, ideally.
You know, when you're describing that, you are there's the two buckets of value that you just described, but I think when you start to think about kind of this AI, so if you listen to experts, Mary Meeker, industry luminaries, basically said this is going to be more ubiquitous than electricity. You're going to bump into AI more frequently than you do electricity. But what is at the core of that is the data, these novel data sets that we're creating. So think about the fact that for years, I mean decades, we've been thinking about how to talk to our customer less.
Yeah.
Just the insanity of talk to your customer less. And this really creates this kind of platform for you to learn, an enterprise learning machine that says, actually, if the economics bear out, if you can show me how this is actually in my shareholder's best interest, I should be talking to my customer more, because at the end of the day, this data set is going to inform my next business model, my iteration around a product, what I do with my services, how do I expand my margins. All of that is actually in the data.
Well, I mean, not only that, I mean, now we're talking, I mean, beyond just Excel, just talking about the actual AI and interface and how this works. I mean, I look at this as, and again, Brad, you brought this up kind of with the healthcare units and how much money they spend in advertising. If you have a regular touch point with your customer, you don't have to have such heavy lifting on your marketing effort. You don't have to explain how to reinvent the wheel every single time you break out a new product. You don't have to go, so this is what it does and how you get it and how it works. The customer should know because they've been interacting with you the last 10 years. They know that iteration after iteration, you unleash it week by week,
right.
Not one big chunk. And that's one of the things that, and this is, you know, hopefully only a limited number of people, no one in the media scape listens to this podcast. That is one of the secrets behind where we are with Technori and why I think we're going to be much better off than a lot of the media companies is the fact that we don't have to do major marketing pushes other than apparently redoing our website, major marketing pushes so that we have to tell people, this is the new us, this is our new thing. If you go to an event, if you listen to a show, if you write on our Facebook page, if you do anything, there's no way you don't know what we're doing.
Right.
And if you add in the ability to actually, if I can actually communicate with the people rather than just waking up to emails in the morning, we would be unstoppable. Yep. And that's the part with, like, whether it's media or any other organization, if they don't embrace AI and figure out it is for everyone. This is not for just software as a SaaS or, you know, software as a service. And
it's right.
Everybody can use it to shorten the lead time on contact point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're hitting on a lot there, but I will tell you, you know, there's people, and we've seen disruption already, right? So, you know, just think about as an example, you know, personal insurance,
yep.
Right? We saw the likes of Geico and Progressive really kind of disrupt that marketplace just with the way that they went to market. But what you're going to really, I think, start to see is that AI is not industry specific.
Yep.
It really avails an opportunity for each and every industry to go, okay, specifically, how could I use this? And really, I think what is exciting about it is we kind of have this land grab. Right. And I, you know, I challenge a couple CEOs
it's
that
the best place to be.
That's right. It's a land grab. And I challenge a couple CEOs that had said, oh, we're doing some really cool and innovative things. And I said, OK, strip away the colors and the branding on your website and tell me what's different than your competitor.
Yep.
And just do it on the weekend and just say, OK, what really capability wise is different? And it was like, it was one of those moments like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Right. And so the fact of the matter is
not much.
Right. And so what they've been kind of convinced of is keeping up. And, you know, at one end of the spectrum, you have Amazon, which is absolutely frictionless commerce. They've got this kind of, I would tell you, they're not even a retailer. They're a technology firm who happens to sell some stuff.
Yes.
But on the other end of the spectrum, every other firm has to figure out how do you create intimacy with your customer that allows you to actually keep this relationship going. Right. And so if you don't have anything that answers that question, then, you know, you should expect that you'll be challenged for your survival, right? You should
100%.
Expect that you should, it's a actual predictable outcome. If you're not doing anything, and I laugh because some people are going, well, Amazon had, you know, one-click purchasing, so we're going to do one-click purchasing. I'm like, you're going to constantly stay in the rearview mirror,
yeah,
right? What are you going to do that innovates ahead of them and says, well, Amazon doesn't do this yet.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
Well, I would say, and as we close out on this, I mean, I think you bring up a great point because this is my opinion. I think it's a thought process. I think if you're talking to a CEO and you're having to tell them, like, listen, you got to try to be innovative. You have to stay innovative. Here's the 10 types of innovation. You got to stay, you know, whatever, incremental. And then here's your new stuff and blue sky and all this other stuff. You get them. Those are the people who try to buy a Band-Aid. And they're also the people, the first ones to bitch and moan about it when the price comes in and they didn't get results because they didn't apply it right.
Sure.
And what we're looking for, and you know, whether it's us or it's you or anybody else, we're looking to try to find people who are always on the cutting edge. They're thinking, okay, here's Excel. I'm going to spend 7 figures. All right, fine. Just say that's the price. We're going to use it for this. Yeah. And then they're going to shut the door as soon as you leave. And the right guy should turn around to his team and go, How do we use it as an internal tool? How do we use this to be better efficient on our production line? How do we use, like, you either think of this way or you don't. And if you don't, I hate to tell you that you're just going to bleed out over time. That's your fate.
I think your assessment is spot on. I mean, you know, there's, and especially with AI, when you think about this, there's going to be people who buy this out of basically two emotions. One is fear. So I'm afraid to be left behind.
Yep.
right? And the other one are opportunity, which is what you're describing. There's some people who are going to go, I'm going to plant the flag there first because I'm going to get a data advantage. I'm going to get a evolutionary advantage. I'll learn faster.
That's what Bezos did, right? I mean, he planted the flag, relentless.com, let's roll.
I have, you know, you can't blame them for what they're doing, but what you can say is if you're sitting there thinking about your business and you can't point to something that you're doing that they can't do, then you know what? It is a predictable outcome.
Totally agree. This has been an awesome conversation. Where do people go to learn more about working with Excel Technologies?
ExcelTechnologies.com. I will preface that by saying we are actually reinventing our website right now.
Nice.
So it's there. But hey, listen, we were kind of flying under the radar. We just took a 8-figure investment for minority investment in our business from a publicly traded company.
Nice.
Things are really going in a very positive direction. And we're adding some of the best and brightest data scientists and technologists in the Midwest. And I do say the Midwest because we're Chicagoans. So, you know, we've got a we definitely love to actually kind of attract and retain the top talent. So, you know, my co-founder was a former, University of Chicago guy. Google, Amazon tried to recruit him out to work on their Echo. We kept him here.
Nice.
We want these type of people involved in our business here in Chicago. So,
as do we. Yeah, very cool. Thank you guys so much for coming in. I really appreciate
it. Thank you.
You can catch this episode of More at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes. Stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori. Or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.